come on. Do the Humpty Hump. Come on, do the Humpty Hump. Check out, y'all. Do the Humpty Hump. Just watch me do the Humpty Hump. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing my Humpty Hump.
Life for a Twinkie?
There's a box of Twinkies in that grocery store. Not just any box of Twinkies. The last box of Twinkies that anyone will enjoy in the whole universe. Believe it or not, Twinkies have an expiration date. Someday very soon, life's little Twinkie gauge is gonna go empty.
Oh, yes, we're back. And we're live. We are Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. We have finally worked out all the kinks. And I'm on two consoles. I'm looking like, I'm at the helm of the Starship Enterprise. That's what I look like right now. And let me just say to my wife, let me just say to her right now that I love her very much, and she's on her way home, I'm assuming, and she celebrated with me, well, I don't know, our five-month anniversary yesterday. We didn't do much, we just sat around and watched some boring television, but We just had a very, very quiet. I don't do the whole five-month anniversary thing. Then I got to do 6 months. Look, that's the reason why I put the YouTube video up there. By the way, if you're just joining us, it's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. 2 minutes after the hour on this 12-12-12. Or as we like to say in the music business and in radio, 1-2-1-2-1-2. That's, It's air check. 1-2-1-2-1-2. It's 12-12-12. In fact, this is my wife and your friend and my co-host, Mary, why you bugging, is on the line right now. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Why do you sound so down?
I'm not on my way home. I'm still at work. It's been a hell of a day, and I probably won't be on my way home for another half an hour to an hour.
Oh, wow. So it's one of those days.
Oh, it's been a great day. It's one of those days to say I wish I hit the lottery tonight so that I could not have to come back.
Is there a lottery tonight? Yeah, it's Wednesday. I guess it's the Wednesday lottery, right?
I'll be playing the lottery on the way home.
Really? Well, what's the jackpot this time?
I don't know. 400 and something. I don't know. 40 million. I don't know. Whatever.
You went from 40-something thousand to 40 million.
That's at 40 million.
Oh, okay, so somewhere in between.
I was going to say 400 some million, but somebody already hit that.
Yeah. All right, so did you hear my rap song, by the way?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, I emailed it to you, and hopefully you'll get a chance to listen to it.
I will listen to it on the way home.
Okay. So those of you who don't know, you can check on our Facebook page. That's Reese on the Radio on Facebook. And you can check out the new rap song that Reese has produced. It's called My Nigga. It is a very good song. I happen to think so myself. I'm going to be playing it in a little while so you all get to hear it. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because of the topic we're going to be talking about today, and that's the new Django movie.
Hey, before you finish,
yes.
Reese, before you finish, Love Bug,
yes.
I have to sign off. I cannot stay on the phone doing this, so I will text you when I'm on my way home.
Okay, all right. We'll see that. That's Mary. Okay.
Love you.
Love you too, dear. That's Mary.
Bye.
Yeah, bye, honey. Mary, why you bugging? On her way home. Rough day at the job. And for some odd reason, I can't seem to click her off. Well, anyway, bottom line is that she'll be on the show soon, maybe about an hour or so. But anyway, so I'm getting messages about the new song. It's just a quick little, I don't know, can you a quick, rap thing or you know, whatever. I don't know what you can call it, but, you know, it's my little ditty. It's called My Nigga. And I didn't do the production on it. It's just, you know, as the rappers do, you steal a beat from somewhere else. And then you play it for everybody else to hear. You rap over the beat. So that's what it is that I did. So, for your listening pleasure, here it is. Related to the song, I mean, the controversy, I should say. The controversy in about the new Django movie starring Jamie Foxx, Leonardo DiCaprio, Samuel L. Jackson, and a slew of others. I hear Jonah Hill's in the movie as well. Don Johnson. Anyway, but they're all in the film, and apparently the word niggers used over 100 times, something like 109, according to Variety magazine. And I say, what's all the fuss? If you've been listening to Reese on the radio, you know that that is my favorite word to use. But of course, I use it in a subversive way. I'm always saying it in an angry way. I'm not saying it's like, you know, you my nigga. You know, it's not a term of endearment when I use it. When I use it, I'm making, you know, I'm using it with its effect, an effect that must be used. So here it is, for your listening pleasure, if you haven't heard it already, here is the debut of Reese on the Radio, My Nigga. Okay, give it a second.
You know what time it is. You know who it is right now. It's the crossover hero, Tony Eddie, in the house. Man Reese on the radio. And I hear my man Quentin Tarantino getting a lot of beef. He's getting a lot of beef on this new movie Django with Jamie Foxx and Leonardo DiCaprio. And I came to set the record straight.
Every time I use it, all my critics curse me. That Quentin Tarantino seems to pull the trigger, and everybody in the business up in arms about.
My niggas living up in downtown. My niggas in the circus flipping upside down. My niggas working at the Applebee's on the lunch break in the alley smoking trees. My niggas working at the Five and Dime on the DMV never showing up on time. My niggas working paycheck to paycheck, fake gold chain putting ratchet round your neck. My nigga with the loose change by the Lucy. My nigga favorite cartoon dog movie. My nigga who let me cut in line, cause the nigga had way more stuff in mind. My nigga at the premiere of Django, blocking the movie screen with this furry Kango. My nigga, why you here messing with mine when y'all niggas know you say the word all the time?
And that's it. Debut. My niggas. For you and yours. For your friends, for your mama, for your grandmother. That's the song.
What up, my nigga?
What up, my nigga? Look, you understand. You understand this as well as I do, JC. That there should never ever be a beef about this word anymore. It's a done deal.
Yeah, of course. Get over it.
Yeah, it's like, get over it. It's done. You know, black people have allowed the word nigga to go nuts.
Not only that, but come on. I mean, the more power you give it, the more attention and aggravation you get from hearing it, or your reaction to it, you only give that word some power.
Yeah, it's,
who does,
you know,
that?
I think what the problem is. Here's the problem that I think people have with the word nigga. Is that if you take away its power, then there's nothing to use in the fight, so to speak. This is the problem that they're having, is that if you take the venom out of the word, then we can't argue whenever we want to about somebody calling us nigger. You know, it's like then it's really got no weight to use against what most would appear to be the oppressor, so to speak. It's like they need that word to further the agenda. You start taking certain things away, then, you know, what comes next after word niggas no longer, you know, sort of like an antagonist. Does monkey come next? Can we then use the word gorilla? You know? Can we jigaboo? Can we use those words? Pick a ninja. Will those words be next? They don't want to give up anything. No weight. The word must be used every day, or it must be shown every day to be this visceral word. That's what they're afraid of. So they want people to stop using and make it light up. Now, Spike Lee is upset because he says the Jews, you say something about the Jews in your movies, you're anti-Semitic. Well, that's because the Jews never ever let you. They never ever once called another one of their peers. They never called them a kike as a term of endearment.
No.
You don't call another Chinese man a chink as a term of endearment. You don't call another Indian from the East Indies a dothead as a term of endearment. You never call an Arab a sand nigger as a term of endearment. Those things are all offensive terms. But nigga, oh, all the blacks use it on their own, on their peers. Oh, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga, my nigga. It's all right. So you might as well let it go. You gave it up a long time ago when you said it was all right to call each other niggas. In your blaxploitation films, in your rap song, give it up. There's nothing left. Now it's everybody. It's everybody's word.
Speaking of nigga nonsense.
What's that?
Speaking of nigga nonsense, and I don't mean to shy away from the subject, but I think there's some truth to this 2012 business, man.
No, there's no truth to it. Now, hold on. I want to get to, before you even go there, let's go to White Mike. White Mike!
Hey, my fine friend who's possessed with much melanin content in your skin and is of American derivation. How are you?
You mean you nigga?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, here's the thing that gets me about this bunch of whiny bitches complaining. It's a fucking movie set in the South. They're in slavery. What do you think you called black people back then? It's a historical record. Good God. I mean, Tarantino's not known for his realism or accuracy, but I'm not going to expect slave owners to refer to, you know, Rastus in the field as an African American.
Yes. You know, that black guy, he's here looking for his wife you stole.
Now, they might have changed it up and gotten away from nigga and used some good old ones, you know, like Pickaninny and Jigaboo.
Yeah.
Spear Chucker is my personal favorite. That one needs to come back into fashion, I think. Spear Chucker is the best.
Really? My favorite, although I like Spear Chucker, you know what my favorite is? My favorite has always been Stovepipe. I don't know why. I lose my itch every time I hear that term. I heard it once on the radio. The host of the show used it, and I could not contain myself when I heard it, because I had never heard it at the time. Stovepipe? Wow.
No. I got to say, I'm a big fan of the new one that's come kind of on the underground, where it's Mondays.
Oh,
yeah, you call black people
up
Mondays because nobody likes Mondays.
They don't like Mondays. They don't show up.
My favorite has always been Porch Monkey.
Porch Monkey is a good one. But, you know, of all the people to pick on Tarantino and to answer Spike Lee's stupid question, yeah, there are movies where people call Jewish people kikes and sheenies and all that. There are movies about neo-Nazi skinheads.
Right.
That's on screen quite a bit.
Yeah. Not movies that end up in hot music videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. But see, that's my point, Mike, is what I'm saying is that when you hear those movies, you know, American History X is a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, you use those movies, you know, any movie that you can reference where you're talking about every other group, right? Out of all the groups that the white supremacist, the skinhead, whatever it is, whatever the racist may use, you will never, ever hear them use the word towards any group where one of those groups use that word to self-identify. You never
will. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I have a friend who's Korean, and they never say shit like, you know, let's go chink it up right now.
Yeah, exactly. They never use the word to self-identify. And African Americans who have done everything in their power to say, oh, we took the bite out of it, you know, we now use it as a term of endearment. It's not as bad as it used to be. You know, now everybody's, you know, trying to lighten up. The truth of the matter is that it always will affect them, but it's no one's fault but your own. If you don't want people to use it, you've got to stop using it.
Yeah, exactly. And, to be pissed, I understand being pissed off about if you had somebody like Michael Rapaport, you know, using it as, you know, as though he was passing. I can see being pissed there. But
right.
How can you be mad when a slave owner is calling his field hand niggers? That's accurate.
Right. Yes, because then at that particular time, that movie's got to be racially sensitive.
Yeah, but, you know, I was planning to boycott the damn movie anyway just because they let Jamie Foxx say, oh, you know, I get to kill white people and get paid for it. Good. You know, how can you get away with that?
Well, you know what? He didn't even have an answer for that on the Today Show this morning. He didn't have an answer for it because he didn't expect any backlash. But again, you know, this is like I said last week about Bob Costas. Jamie Foxx was in what we like to call, pleasant company. And when the comedian who's on stage and everybody's so starstruck, we were at Saturday Night Live. We're going to see all the cast members. Oh, my God, Jamie Foxx, Academy Award-winning actor. He's in a new movie. He's Hollywood. He gets in a room and he tells all the white people, hey, I'm in a movie where I get to kill all the white people. How black is that? And then he says, how great is that? And what do the white people in the crowd do? They applaud it. Another fine example of, I mean, I'll almost say this. With the exception of blacks, I believe that whites have now come to terms with insulting their own color. Where now it's become
we're fed a constant barrage of guilt and self-hatred by the media. I mean, a lot of young people, especially young leftists, they've been taught that Columbus was a raper and oppressor and everything white people did was bad and all we did was oppress minorities. And that you should feel ashamed for what your ancestors created.
Absolutely.
And God damn it, I'm not ashamed that my ancestors came here from England and helped build this damn country. I'm not even ashamed that my ancestors owned slaves. The way I figure it, there's a whole bunch of black people that owe my ancestors a goddamn thank you.
You know what makes me laugh is that when I've watched places like MSNBC and CNN, you know, what's the other network? It's not even, I know it's not Fox, but there's another one, and I have no idea. NBC, ABC for all of them. I love the way I listened to each and every one of them when they talked about this past election, and they kept using this terminology when they kept talking about white men. Said, not enough white men, not enough white men. The old angry white men. There's no more angry white men. The white men, the rich white men, the white men. And I'm sitting up here going, these are white men on TV who make a crap load of money talking about how they're extinct, and they're celebrating it.
You know, have you been
they're kind of looking at racism. I mean, I think what I took from it was that they were looking at the older forms of racism dying off.
But wait.
So, I mean, once they're dead, I mean, who do you have to blame then? Because we're gonna be such a blended society, period. You know what I mean? Who do you blame then? There ain't nobody. There ain't no old white racists to blame because they're already dead and gone.
Well, hey, I got some words for you. How about Detroit, Atlanta, Birmingham, Oakland? That's the future of this country.
Exactly. That's what they want the future to be. If there's no more capitalism, then everybody lives in some sort of impoverished state, and we're all poor, and that's okay. Let's get rid of the rich white guy. Let's try to return to the soil. That's what these hipsters are saying. Let's return to the soil.
Yeah. Meanwhile, 7% of Detroit eighth graders, as announced today, read at grade level.
And that's 7%.
And 4% are at the proper math level for their grade level. 4%.
Gee.
You're gonna rebuild a city with that population? People who can't read and can't do simple math?
That is why I'm starting to study my Bible in German. I'm going Amish.
And the thing about old white men is they have all the guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have all the guns and they're not afraid to use them because they're going to die soon anyway.
That sounds exactly right.
Well, they got itchy fingers anyways. And they can't aim.
You go to a shooting range. They hold their guns straight up, not sideways. Those old dudes can shoot.
Dennis, the mass menace, is on the line. Hello, Dennis.
Hola. This nigga on parade show?
Yes, it is, my friend.
I was wondering, how much you all selling yourself for?
I want
y'all
a million,
going down
nigga.
To the corner market to the slave show? I mean, I want to know how many teeth I got to see you before I buy this.
That's okay. I'm a 6'5", 225-pound nigga, and I live more than my weight.
Y'all a healthy bunk? Now, which y'all come from now? The west coast of the Africaian?
Reef is obviously a Mandingo.
Oh, that explains it. Got to get that white blood in him.
Or get into
so
that white
silly.
Blood.
This is so goddamn silly. If we only would stop and laugh at ourselves like we do in the show, I think things would be a hell of a lot better in this country.
Oh, but you know what? Look, I wasn't so much offended about it. Mike was somewhat offended about what Jamie Foxx said on the Saturday Night Live thing. When I was watching it, Mary and I watched it live that Saturday. We watched it. As soon as I heard the whole thing, you know, how great is that, how black is that, and all that other stuff, first of all, the first thing that I was annoyed. Because for me, as a comedian, as a former comedian, and a guy who really, really likes comedy, and I've been watching Saturday Night Live, I mean, since its inception, I mean, now it's been a long, wow. I mean, I'm almost certain I've watched it since maybe I'm 12 years old. I've watched Saturday Night Live. I've always respected the comedians who have been on there. They've had horrible seasons and horrible comedians. But when I watched this whole thing go on there, I thought it was so base for Jamie Foxx to get up there and tell I'm a nigga joke. I mean, that's all it was. And
I never
Jamie,
heard of him before. I thought it was Red Fox coming back from the dead.
But when I watch him, the first thing I'm saying to myself is, dude, you're not on In Living Color anymore. You've won a Grammy. You've won an Oscar. You don't have to be funny anymore. You're a legitimate actor, if you will, within the scope of Hollywood. You're a legitimate actor. If you want to come in and do Saturday Night Live to come out of your element and do something along those lines, dude, that's fine. If you want to come back to your roots and do some of your comedy, that's fine. But he got
the
out there and he
does he really care? You
no,
know, in politics, it's not what they don't care what you say, if they like you or hate you, as long as they spell your name right. This man is getting a lot of free publicity.
What he did was, and you're doing what he wasn't to do. But what he did was, he came out there and he said, I'm going to give the white audience what it is that they expect from a black comedian because I got nothing left to really give them. And that's who Jamie Foxx is.
In other words, he cooned.
Yeah, exactly. He cooned.
Yeah, he was up there cooning.
One of the things you kind of got to give him credit for is that despite being being associated with and around those types that stay in constant trouble, he was one of those black celebrities that that you didn't hear about in the news or always in and out of jail or in police scrapes or anything like that, or even with drugs.
When you're going to, for the new year, will you start White History Month? It's needed.
I'm going to do better than that.
White History Year? That would be great.
Well, I'm going to do a little thing next Black History Month. I'm going to do a thing that I started actually in my Hot 97 day, where I'm going to do famous stories about white people who have killed, if not, or shot or assaulted blacks. That made history. These are famous black people.
How about this famous Klansman who got elected to the U.S. Senate, from West Virginia?
I'm going to do a story about Bernhard Goetz. Everybody remembers him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do who's another famous
Eugene Terra Blanche. Remember him out in South Africa?
How about George Zimmerman?
He only gets a half a show because he's only half white.
Yeah, I think George Zimmerman will definitely get in there. Yeah. What was the outrage on the Atlanta child murderer? You notice how that story was buried when they found out it was a black guy?
Yep. It was the Olympics in Atlanta.
Well,
the Atlanta child murderers went nowhere as soon as they found out that the killer was black.
Well, how about the story
I was down
I
in Atlanta
Facebook?
For that time, during that time.
What did you say, Mike?
How about the story
I was down in Atlanta.
Facebook?
I was living in Atlanta for a little while during that time.
I heard you, JC. I was talking about, yes, the story that you put up.
Yeah, the young couple has a party, and then they're a victim of home invasion by three young Negroes who wave guns around and then gang rape the white girl in the bedroom, some 19-year-old
Negro.
Girl.
Negro. Now, there's a word you don't hear much anymore.
And that doesn't make the news at all? Do you think if that was three white guys who broke into a Negro party and did that to a sister, that wouldn't be on the news?
Of course.
How about a couple of months ago in downtown Baltimore?
What happened there?
Where the black gang beat up and stripped naked a white man? I think it was a tourist downtown in broad daylight in Baltimore.
Oh yes, I do. That's right. It was during a holiday of some sort. Had to be the 4th of July, right?
Sometime in the summer.
Yeah, it was the 4th of July. You're absolutely right. I do remember that. And it was caught on camera.
And it went down the memory hole.
They videotaped it themselves and put it on YouTube or something.
That's right. That's right. That is absolutely right. I do remember that well.
You do know what the memory hole is.
What's the memory hole?
That's George Orwell's 1984. They had a hole where you throw things in that you didn't want things to be ever recalled again, and it disappeared. That was the memory hole.
I forget. Everybody always goes back to Orwell, and I go, oh, yeah, that's that damn book.
Yeah, he's that white dude that owned five slaves out in Alabama. Yeah, that Orwell guy.
Oh, you're a mess.
You know who you'd like to interview?
Who's that?
Franz K. Bro. Ever hear of him?
No, he's a friend of yours?
He's a very intellectual man who speaks about stolen history. He's a black professor, and he wanted people to understand, you know, blacks owned white slaves during the South, before the Civil War. But you didn't know that.
No. That's interesting.
I heard about that.
Oh, I'd like to talk to him.
F-R-A-N-Z-K-E-B-R-E-U. You can Google him.
You know, You know what to do. Send it to me in a, send it to me in, a, in an instant message so I can look it up. I want to take a break because I want to talk about Stephen Crowder when we get back. And the ass
whipping he
took, the ass whipping he took from the union out in Michigan that happened a day ago. He's been on the news talking about that. Plus some other news and views that I have to bring up. And we'll talk about that when we get back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Love, y'all. We in the party, put your hands up, yeah, y'all. Yeah, we do it all for the love, y'all. We do it. Love getting down in the love of cool weed. Love seeing checks from record companies. Love, love, and love, cause I love what I do. And we do a thing for the 192 and the rest of the country, cause we're from there too. Making sure love is given when I get it from you. Everybody, we regulate the party. Come on, love it when I get a little rugged with it. Love the circumstance to make my dough flow right. Love rocking mics, plus the ill style like. She does it real good, but love to make it more better. Got me kinda open in the DK sweater. Love when my people come home from jail, bitch. Really love women and I really love kids. Love tight clubs where the music is bang. Can't fuck with gas women or a shorty got bang. Loving it,
yeah, yeah,
I'm loving it,
yeah.
Love a woman when she got a tight outfit.
Come on.
Outfit, in her outlook and disposition. You love it when it does a love composition. She love peanut butter and jelly on wheat. Wildin' out, making hot shit to hot beats. From Ohio to McKinsey. From Phoenix to NC. From Cali to love it when the pressure falls right on me. Love it when God keeps on overlooking. Do a tight show so promoters keep working.
We do it all for the love, y'all. Yeah, we do it all for the love, y'all. We get the paper, but it's still for the love, y'all. From the heart, inside of the heart, y'all. We do it all for the love, y'all. For real, for the love, y'all. All my people's in the ghetto for the love, y'all. All around for the love, y'all. For the love, love.
Going to run where my people still at. If they call me and I don't call back, 4 weeks at a time, love is still intact. Let's be big about it and realize the fact.
What?
Love it when the underdog comes through. Get a rebel riser, overthrow these rules. Love it when I get spared another day. Used to drink day while my niggas wait day. Love it when I gain control over this. Life is really bigger than the rollie on my wrist. Got a twist to this shit and the answers inside show as the world is small and the Mississippi fire. Had to rock a vest over untrue stress. Now I see people rocking theirs in chest.
Come on.
Love it when my loved one really hold me down.
Damn.
Brand new flight and I'm taking off.
We do it all for the love, y'all. Check it out, we do it all for the love, y'all. For the love, for the love, for the love, y'all. We get the paper, but it's still for the love, y'all. Yo, we do it all for the love, y'all. For everybody, for the love, y'all. Black man, it's ain't a bug, y'all. Yeah, we give it y'all this new love, y'all. It's the love inside of the heart, y'all. Yeah, for the love, for the love, y'all. Yeah, for the love, for the love, y'all. Yeah, for the love, for the love, y'all. Yeah, for the love, for the love.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
Yeah.
to be dope.
Yeah.
I own a pocket full of fame.
But look what you're doing now.
I know. Well, I know. I lost touch with reality. Now my personality is an unwanted commodity.
Believe
Can't
it.
Believe I used to be Mr. Steve Austin on the mic.
6 million ways
I used to run it. I guess Oscar Goldman got mad, cause I got loose circuit.
So loose.
I beat a mother goose with the eggs that seem to be.
Yo, pack my bags, cause I'm out of here. Mama don't love me and my mama don't care. Read the papers, the headlines say, washed up rapper got some. Lingo's busted while the guitar sways. B-side copy for the radio plays for something. I knew I blew the whole fandango when the drum programmer wore a kango. Never could be like great fish, won't bite bait. Realize that I'm over like clover. No good luckin', so mate beat the f***ing beat. While a teenage fan the heat, I bring it to the clues. Paid all my dues, so what's gone dead? Let me use my forehead. Easy, pack it up, man, let me stop stalling. Cause everything I do is like falling.
On the radio, and we are live. 38 minutes after the hour, right here on blogtalkradio.com. We finally got our ish together. We had some trouble yesterday, but I finally worked it out. Got the command center.
Do we really?
Yeah.
I think BlogTalk's got issues tonight.
Really? No, I mean, my computer's running pretty well. I mean, I've had.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Every time I had white mic in the back room, did you take them out?
No, I never touched it.
He keeps popping on cue, and so he's ready to listen and come on the air.
Right.
And he's lit up in the blue cue.
Right.
But he's still in a bubble talking to me.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it wouldn't back.
I'm not having any issues there now. He seems to be in the blue cue now, so.
Yeah, he's in blue cue. Yeah. That's where he is now.
So I don't know if anybody saw this yesterday, but it was at least on Fox News. Anyway, the comedian Steven Crowder, JC, you got too much static going on in the background, buddy. I have to put it on pause there. Anyway, the conservative comedian, who's known as Steven Crowder, guy who I enjoy, I'm subscribed to his place on Facebook. He's done some pretty funny things online. He's got a couple of rap songs. He's kind of a guy after my own heart. You know, he does a lot of parodies and things of that nature, and he's pretty funny. If you've not checked him out, please do. It's called Louder with Crowder, C-R-O-W-D-E-R. He's pretty funny. Some of the stuff he's got in there has been, you know, it's been par at best. Sometimes it's really, really funny, but I like him. Anyway, so he was in Michigan. And while he was in Michigan, he was out there to get some footage talking to these protesters who were in the union. And one of the union thugs, I guess he bumped into him. I guess Steven Crowder walked in, because you can't really see it on the camera, but I can only assume based upon the footage that Steven Crowder in some way bumped into him from behind. The union member had his back towards Steven Crowder's back. So in essence, it was sort of like one of those Scooby-Doo videos where the two guys bump into each other from the back and they go, zoinks! Anyway, so they bump into each other. And after they bump into each other, the union member, who knows that Steven Crowder is being screamed at because obviously either the union members who recognize him or the fact that he's debating some of them, they're already agitated. And these guys are a bunch of thugs anyway. You couldn't get me in the room with them because I'll talk about that in a second. But anyway, so Crowder, who's kind of he's a mild-mannered kind of guy. This guy is no thug. So next thing you know, this older guy bumps, he knocked me down. He's already amped up anyway. Steven Crowder's trying to keep his composure, but this guy's amped up. They're there looking for a fight anyway. Because he knows he's there with his boys. If I beat this dude down, my boy's going to back me up. So they see Steven Crowder. He's a mild-mannered looking guy. Bam, bam. They start. I mean, he's swinging on him. He's catching. I mean, Steven, God damn it. Block your face, you bum. You look like Pacquiao out there. But he gets popped in the mouth. Pow, 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 pow. He just gets nailed. From what I gather and according to the reports, he got punched in the face about four times by the thug, and it's all caught on camera. Caught on camera. No matter where you look, you see the swing. He's just getting pelted. It's disgusting. It's horrible. No matter what, you just couldn't stop it. It's just bad. I don't know whether or not he falls to the ground. He just got his ass just beat. So now I hear that Steven Crowder has challenged the man to jail time or meet him in a mixed martial arts ring. I don't know if you heard that, folks. Now, look, I don't know. This is me. I'm going to be a guy here. I would have taken this approach. If I'm Steven Crowder, I'd have taken this approach. I would have said, listen, my man, you got me. I'm going to have you charged with assault. I'm going to get you locked up and you deal with the justice system. I'll show up there every day. I'm a comedian. I got my own blog. I got my own website. I don't got to work. This is my work. I'll show up there every day and make sure they prosecute your ass to the fullest. Or you get in the ring with me so I can throw them bows. I can catch you with the elbow, catch you with the knee. And guess what? If you whip my ass, you whip my ass, but it's all over. Let's go. Now, I know there has been no response as of yet. I'm dying to hear this. I'm dying to hear how this turns out. But I think Crowder played it the right way. I hope Crowder can fight. He doesn't look like a tough guy. Guys, look online. You can look about Steven Crowder. Look at him. He looks like a baby. I mean, if I looked at this kid, he was like, he's He looks like every guy I ever met who went to Trinity College up in Connecticut. You know? He's a beer drinker. He's got a cute girlfriend. He's never been in a fight in his life. Notice I didn't say Yale or Harvard. I said Trinity. JC knows what I'm talking about. Trinity boys. You know, they're like, they're a half a semester away from Birkenstocks and chewing on bark. But they like polo shirts. That's what I'm talking about. Steven Crowder is not a tough guy. He talks a good game, but he's not a real tough guy. So I'm going to ask the guys, and I'm going to bring them in here, whether or not they think that Steven Crowder has done the right thing here by saying, come on, man, let's duke it out. A good friend, Sally D. in Massachusetts, is on the line with us.
I'm loving the sound effects. Let me tell you a quick story. So about 8 years ago, I worked with this guy, nice guy. We always had a good back and forth, busting each other's balls here and there. And I like to mix it up a little with him. I knew he was into karate, and he was I can't remember the exact style, but he used to tell me how he was involved. One day we start sparring a little bit, and I came in close. We're throwing punches, and we're just tapping each other. But he goes, and this kid's like 5'7". He's got a gut, okay? He jumps up in the air and does a spinning kick, knocks me out.
Woo! He knocked you out.
I mean,
cold?
I wasn't unconscious, but he knocked me down. And I never forgot that because I think it goes to the point you're making. You don't know. You don't know until you know the guy you're fighting. And I let my perception of him, you know, let my guard down, and he caught me good. This kid Crowder could be a trained fighter, but he's not expecting to get punched during an interview. You know,
right.
you know what I
that's
mean?
That's what
I'm know.
Saying. See, that's the interesting part about this, Sal, and you hit it right on the head. Crowder's the one who suggested this.
Right.
You know, Crowder's saying, let's get into the MMA ring. Crowder may have the edge up here because he may know a little bit of technique. He may know some ass-whipping technique.
Well, there's two possibilities, neither of which are good for the union guy. One is that Crowder is some trained mixed martial artist who knows how to whip his ass.
Right.
Or two, that Crowder doesn't know how to fight at all, but he's just freaking crazy.
Right, exactly. But
I don't want to fight a crazy person. Crazy people have nothing to lose.
Right. I think Crowder – now, don't get me wrong, folks. Like I said, I told – and I suggested that you go to his YouTube page. It's Louder with Crowder. He's got his own page, and he does these videos. He's missed a lot, like, over the past couple of months. Like, before the election, he didn't have a lot. But over the summer and early in the year, he had plenty. What I found interesting is that Steven Crowder, earlier in the year, if not late last year, he had some videos where he was helping people do, like, these 5-10-minute workouts, where he was actually in the gym showing people how it is that they could do really, really low-intensity sort of workouts. So that I know about him. So he's obviously, and again, he's a fit guy. But you guys know the type I'm talking about. You've seen Steven Crowder, right?
Yeah, but Reese, like I told you, you know, I've seen guys who look really tough. And when you get in a fight, they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. And then you meet this kid who looks chubby, looks short. You don't think he can move too quick, and he knocks your ass off, knocks you down in your ass. I mean, you just don't know. You really don't.
Well,
hand speed,
know,
especially.
A lot of people, especially rich yuppies like that, are taking mixed martial arts, you know, jiu-jitsu, and they're taking Krav Maga. He could be one of those, like, yuppie ninjas.
Whip your ass with an espresso in his hand. You know, I think this – well, first of all, I know Crowder's got two very interesting aspects here, and I think that he's really appealing to when it comes to this this union thug that he, you know, that swung on him. First of all, he's telling this union guy, you know, look, you got the best of me. It's obvious that you did. I got my ass whipped. I was outnumbered. I'm getting pulled and dragged around. But he's appealing to a sensibility here. This union guy who took a swing on him, who was looking for a fight, all he ever did was to fight. But now he's in essence just saying, listen, man, it's clear you want to kick my ass. You don't like guys like me. You don't like guys in the opposition. You wish you could just punch my face in. Well, guess what? Now I'm giving you what you want. Now get in a ring with me so you can pound my face in. And the worst part about this is that now that the union guy has been challenged, for him to refuse to get in a ring with a guy who looks like Steven Crowder, they're going to call him pussy forever.
Can't they? Shouldn't they be filing charges on him anyway? I mean, he's on video.
Listen, nobody, first of all, in Michigan, nobody's going to be filing charges unless the police get a hold of that video and they file charges anyway. But then they're going to ask Steven Crowder whether or not he wants to press charges. Because it's a personal assault while he's in the middle of a melee. If he wishes to press charges, they'll need Steven Crowder to testify that it was an unprovoked hit. So Steven Crowder, if he gets into the ring with him and, you know, they have this little tete-a-tete and it's over, if the prosecutors come up to him and ask him a question, he's just going to go, I refuse to press charges. I will not cooperate. They won't make him cooperate on a fisticuffs. In the street, they won't do it unless they are willing to literally drop the frickin' hammer on this union guy, which they're not trying to do. But I think Crowder played this perfectly.
I just wanted to say one thing about something you said earlier, because I just wanted to add one little point. I know you're moving on from. So the Jamie Foxx. The Jamie Foxx thing is interesting. When I listened to the clip several times because they were playing it, I actually laughed. I thought it was really funny. Now, let me put it in context. When I'm listening on the radio and you extract yourself from the election, Jamie Foxx's prior comments,
right?
Then I thought it was kind of funny, to be honest with you, because I'm not really intimidated. So I think, you know, I'm one of these people, you know, let's all pick on each other, and I think we get along better that way. But now take it for what it was. You know, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, when they were doing the kind of humor, saying, oh, the white guy over here, whatever, and people laughed, I really believe it was a different time in our country. Although there were always racial tensions, we were a different country. I think we got along better. I think there was just this kind of, you know, we're all in this together kind of thing. There were racial issues, but you dealt with a lot of them through humor. But today, where we stand as a country after this volatile election that separated us as a nation, and obviously, you know, he's throwing in my president, you know, my president, he's throwing the election in people's faces. And trying to make this, you know, more than the movie. This had a lot more behind the meaning of what he said than the movie.
So you believe it was connotation? You think there was inflection?
There was a lot of backstory. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely. Inflection, connotation. Let me tell you what it is that I have a clear problem with Jamie Foxx and why it is that. I mean, I'm unlike Mike here. Mike saying that what he deems is somewhat offensive. But let me tell you what my problem is with comedians like Jamie Foxx today, who use this what I consider based race humor. Let me tell you why I have a problem with it. There is something categorically different about Red Fox, about Dick Gregory, about Bill Cosby, about Richard Pryor, all black comics back in the beginning who did what was called nuanced racial comedy. Then in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, there were core differences in the ways that blacks behave versus whites behave as a counterculture to one another. And I shouldn't even use the term counterculture, but they were both sort of compartmentalized in their own ways. There's a nuance in that humor. Today, there are white kids who call their baby daddy, baby daddy. There are white kids today who are influenced and involved in what's considered hip-hop culture because now it's a part of mainstream. There was an entire group that used to be a minority that is now a majority in this country. Those things have all grown. So now, when we use this partisan sort of trying to be nuanced about black versus white, it's irrelevant in the new age. See, progressives like, or so-called progressives like Jamie Foxx, say that the world is different now. Gays are part of the mainstream, blacks are part of the mainstream. You know, Mexicans, Latinos, they all part of the mainstream. And now when they try to use separatist, and I use that purposefully, when they use separatist rhetoric, that's where it loses its nuance, because it isn't there anymore. And that's where it's offensive, because now it's so base, it's so disgusting, it's no need. Because I don't have to point out the fact that, well, we can't, nowadays we can't say white men can't jump. Have you been to Duke or North Carolina State? White men can jump all day. White men can't dance. White men can't rap. The biggest freaking name in hip-hop is a white man from Detroit. So the nuance isn't there anymore. It's a joke.
Well, you're spot on, and I think that's what's so offensive to people. People were not listening to Richard Pryor. They weren't listening to a Chris Rock joke making fun of how the white guy talks or acts, you know. And right now, I think people are so inflamed and people are so pissed across this country that what he did, it's less about the words he used, but more about the intention behind it. He's got to know he's inflaming the angry people, already angry, even further on both sides.
Well, you know, the difference between the comedians that Reese mentioned, you know, with maybe the exception of Dick Gregory, and the guy and what Jamie Foxx did is, I never got the feeling that those guys hated me.
And you know, say the exception of Dick Gregory. You're absolutely right. But wait.
Yeah, Dick Gregory is kind of a radical.
Did Dick Gregory sound like he hated you when he was on Ed Sullivan? No, he did not.
No. But he eventually decided he hated
Whitey. Oh, yeah. As he got older and more bitter, and he lost a lot of his fan base due to guys like Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor, when people were no longer going to him, his bitterness was more about black people and white people not giving him his shine.
Yeah.
Dick Gregory is one of the most bitter comedians in the world.
I met Richard Pryor when I was a kid. I mean, like a little kid, like 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, that had to be your dream, dude, if you heard any of his albums.
I had no idea who he was. I didn't realize until a few years later. But remember the movie The Toy?
Oh, man.
With Jackie Gleason?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they shot that in Baton Rouge. And Richard Pryor was staying in the same motel that the state police put my dad, the trooper, up at while he worked the legislative session. So I went to visit the old man, and he said, "Do you want to meet somebody famous?" And I actually went down to Richard Pryor's room, and my dad, probably not the wisest freaking decision, by the way, left me in a room with Richard Pryor for like 20 minutes.
That's like, were you sitting in a coke den?
Dude, I remember talking to him, and I kind of knew he was important, but I didn't know who the hell he was. He just asked me questions, you know, about what I
did
in school.
Did he talk to you?
Yeah, we hung out for like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's cool, though, dude.
It was like, are you doing well in school? Stay in school. Are you going to be a cop? And when I said no, he said, good, I hate cops. For that much.
That's a great story.
But I don't think Jamie Foxx would be that cool to some 10-year-old white kid.
No,
the other side
not.
Of this is that how would it be taken if a white comedian got up there and said something like, you know, I know you're all doing so poor in these communities. I'm making $200K a year with my beautiful house. How white is that? Right? If someone
I got an 820 credit report. How white is that?
Yeah, I mean that would inflame people, but there's such a double standard when it comes to this stuff. It's remarkable, and that's really the only thing.
He was a good comedian. What the hell is his name? Godfrey Cambridge, and I bet you nobody remembers him.
You're going back.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go ahead, Dennis.
That's it.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll go to the top of the hour. We'll be right back. It's Cleveland Radio. We'll be right back.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, come on. Let's finish this. Give it to me. Show me what you're made of. Show me what you've learned. Don't let me down, son. Everything I've taught you comes down to this. This is the only way that you can hope to survive. Because life is not a movie. Everyone lies. Good guys lose. And love does not conquer all. So let's do this thing. Let's finish it.
Oh, welcome back. We are live 2 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is December the 12th, 2012, which means that it is 12-12-12, or as we like to say in broadcasting or in the hip-hop community, I want to. Okay, that was really, really horrible. I want to. No, anyway. I have to find out what my wife thought of that, because that was pretty awful. JC, can you please? I'm trying to click this stupid thing, but it's freezing. Oh, there she is. Hello, my wife.
Yes. Hello, my love bug.
Please stop calling me that.
Hello?
Yes. What?
What?
Nothing. I was asking you a question. What did you think about the little beatboxing?
You suck. Leave the beatboxing to me.
Please do not beatbox on the air.
I can beatbox better than you.
Yeah, so do I. Anyway, so you're on your way home, huh?
Yes, I'm on my way home.
Okay, is that what you called to bother me about?
I wasn't calling to bother you about anything, asshole. I was calling to listen to the show.
Talk about niggas.
Talk
about whom?
To talk about niggas.
Oh. We're past that conversation.
Well, you said the whole show was going to be about niggas.
Said the white girl. She's really excited about nigger conversation.
I love the Negroes. I married one.
Yeah, one whiter than you, as everyone else said.
Well, I'm not a dumb snow bunny.
Well, I appreciate that, my dear, and thank you. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the show now. I'll see you shortly.
I'll see you soon.
You got it. All right, Mary, why are you bugging? Working late. Hanging them bills, keeping the roof over the head, you know what I'm saying? Keeping it real, son. Word up. Anyway, all right, some other news and some other views. A story that I saw yesterday I'm not going to use the word freak me out. It made me uncomfortable when I heard the story. And it'll probably do this to you as well, folks. Now, I got to give you a little background here. Not about the story, but I'll give you a little background about Reese on the Radio. Okay? One time I was in a conversation. I'm not going to say with whom. It doesn't matter. But in that conversation, the person and I were talking about how many people we had slept with in our entire lives. And having that conversation, in fact, that person I had the conversation with still does not believe me when I say this. I'm 43 years old, I'm black, and I can count how many women I've slept with, and I can name them all by name. And it's only been 31. I've not slept with hundreds of women. I will never, ever claim to have slept with hundreds of women. I never would sleep with hundreds of women. It isn't in me. And why is because when I grew up, I had a lot of women in my life. My mother, my two sisters, my aunts, my pretend aunts, women just in my community. They were always around. And all they ever talked about was, oh, he got a little thing, or, oh, he couldn't move it. Like, the criticism was amazing. And I had such an ego problem that if I was with a woman, would she be out there talking about me in that way? So it made me very self-conscious about sex and relationships in general. So I've always been, in a lot of those cases, I've always been kind of like dismissive when it comes to women. The fact is, but my biggest deal was I wasn't trying to slam everything I got around. Like, I wasn't trying to tap it all. I wasn't trying to find my manhood between a woman's legs. It's never been my style. So when I told this person I had only been with 31 women, they were like, are you serious? Most of my relationships have been long-term. I've only had one-night stand in my life, and that lasted 3 days. I've never, ever, like, just, you know, I've never played craps with my genitalia. Just never did it. Because I was always fearful of what these women were always talking about. AIDS, disease, STDs, getting burnt, you know, all that stuff, BD, all that stuff scares me. And then when AIDS happened during sort of my upbringing, like while I'm through puberty, AIDS, I'm like, you know, that's HIV definite. Nigga gonna die. I was scared. So I wasn't trying to, you know, dig up in somebody immediately. I wasn't trying to do that. Now, I'll admit, I've had some cautionary tales. Only one. But since then, I'm kind of serious about this. So then I read this story yesterday, and it kind of freaked me out. So the University of Washington has developed a dissolving condom. Yes. They developed a condom that dissolves inside the vagina. You use it for a little bit of time. This condom will self-destruct. Oh, I don't even know how to respond to this. I don't even know how to respond to this. And apparently it's made with some microfiber of some sort. It's developed by the Borg. I don't know, but at some particular point when you're using it, it dissolves and it releases some sort of energy source. And apparently afterwards it's supposed to then be used as some spermicide and then destroys the semen and all of it. But it's a dissolving condom. I can't take it. When I read it, I was just going, there's no freaking way this is real. There's no way. There's just no way this is real. But when I thought, let me just put it this way. When I read this story, I thought they were saying University of Washington is developing. That's, you know, when you first see something at glance, you know, you kind of have a dyslexia going on because it's early in the morning and you're just checking out the news. Okay, maybe that's just me because that's what I do immediately when I wake up. But I woke up. In fact, my wife does it now. Mary does it when she gets up out of that bed. First thing she does, look at her phone. She goes to the Drudge Report. I'm sorry, sweetheart, I don't mean to use this in a mean way. I don't mean it's subversive. I've got her trained, and I say that she's up on the news. The minute she walks up, that's what she wants to know. I want to know what the news is. The only other time that she doesn't care about the news is when it's storming outside. But the truth is, that's what she does. So when I saw this story, first thing I said was, like, they're developing it? Like, who would do this? Turns out they already developed it. The condom is already developed. This has got to be the sickest thing I ever heard in my entire life. And I'm begging that our resident whack job, White Mike, has
freaking heard this story. Please tell me you have.
I just Googled it while you were talking about it. And I'm kind of confused as to how that's going to work.
You got me.
I mean, okay, yeah, it prevents the semen from entering the woman's cervix. But when it dissolves, what happens to the semen? And if there's a spermicide, do spermicides still stop HIV transmission? Are you going to have a retroviral anti-HIV drug in there, too? It makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever
I got another
is,
question.
Go for it, Dennis.
Now, if the woman should happen to be pregnant, will there be a recording after saying the secretary has disavowed any knowledge of this action?
Look, I don't want a self-destruct freaking mechanism on a condom. You know what I mean?
What the hell is the point of having it?
That's the whole point. What's the whole
point?
Who
financed it? That's what I want to know. Is this your tax dollars at work? Is this the stimulus, literally the stimulus money?
This may have been part of the stimulus package.
Oh, it was a package, all right, of stimulus.
What?
What the hell is that roar? That sounds like Sandy has made a comeback.
I don't know. So wait a minute. So, Mike, from what you're reading, this thing has some sort of... What's the deal on this? It has like a fiber? What's the...
Yeah, they said it was made out of some kind of nylon fiber or something. And that it was going to dissolve, and they said they could infuse it with spermicides or lubricants or something. It just seems weird.
So in essence, what it will do is it will literally destroy the sperm in every apple.
But, you know, maybe it will be carcinogenic, and we can spread it throughout the third world and thin out the population.
Oh,
what was that, Mike? Say that again?
Maybe the condom will prove to be carcinogenic, so we can spread it through the third world and thin out the population.
Let's try it on Ireland first. That'll be a good start.
Why Ireland?
Because I'm not Irish.
Yeah, they're not starving in Ireland. You send it where they're starving.
What? I didn't hear that.
Mary said that she's Irish.
Irish.
Yeah, well, you don't live next to a bar room where it's Turralora, St. Patrick's Week.
So
yeah,
you should move
that in your face.
They're
Dennis,
not covered
I like,
in...
Dennis, I like
yeah.
you a lot, but if you have a
yes.
problem with that, you should move.
yeah, I wish
like
I could.
Dennis.
The Irish aren't laying on the ground covered in flies and shitting out kids every 20 minutes.
Well, where I live, yes.
Yeah, they're covered in flies. Okay.
That's, well, you know, you asked.
He's never been to Jamaica Plain. Tell him, Dennis, he's never been to Jamaica Plain.
No,
oh,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What,
or the white part
you know
of Dorchester.
Hopkins, you be quiet because you married an Irish woman.
You're a good Irish girl. You know you are.
Yes, I am a good Irish
girl. Here he is again.
However,
give me
so
a drink.
Lord. What is this condom made out of? And who do they think is... Who are they targeting? Like, who is their target audience?
Well, remember, this is the University of Washington. So they don't have a... They're not in the manufacturing or sort of like the marketing of this. They're
well,
just developing.
In Washington, you know, they just legalized marijuana, so people aren't even going to remember to put on a condom.
But who the hell has the idea to make this crap to begin with? And who gives them the green light to spend the money to develop this useless product?
who funded it? Did our government fund this this project?
Of course there were some grants that were, you know, look.
Next, they'll be putting a mini cam in.
Contraception, if it's anything to do with contraception, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was funded somehow, some way, or in part by the United States government. It had
to.
Do
you think that they'll establish that they could put a mini cam on the thing too? I mean, that way they can make money off the X movies.
Well, you know what? This also, an interesting thing about this is that when you put the condom in your wallet, after a certain amount of time, I'm pretty sure the wallet will disintegrate if you don't use it.
Well, okay, so are they getting together with the other university that is teaching girls how to manipulate the condom or how to manipulate the guy into wearing a condom?
Condom negotiation.
There you go. Manipulation, negotiation, same shit.
Unbelievable. Nothing does them, as we say in the old country.
I mean, if you're gonna use, if I go to the store and purchase condoms, which I have in the past, I have no problem. I care when I was single and, you know, ready to mingle, I made sure that I had protection with me in case the moron that I may have been with didn't have anything with them, and if they were getting anything, they had to strap. So who thinks that somebody's going to go to the store and say, oh, is it going to be Magnums, Trojans, or wait a minute, there's a new one. It's a dissolvable one. Maybe I should get that one. What is the attraction of a dissolvable condom? Why would I need a dissolvable one where I can just use a regular one? Why? I mean, are there people running rampant talking about, I got a divorce or I was caught cheating because there were used condoms laying around everywhere? I don't get it.
This is nothing more than environmentalist quack jobs who say that condoms.
Yeah. So there's so many people in the world using condoms that condoms is a problem with the environment.
Yes. The latex.
Oh, really?
The latex is not biodegradable.
Oh my god!
Unbelievable.
Well, then what are they? Then they'll have to start using dissolvable gloves and everything in the hospitals and doctors' offices and stuff too now, right?
Oh yeah, exactly.
And at fast food places, none of those things are dissolvable.
It's a new frontier. I have no idea why condoms was the first place that they chose to go.
Anyway,
another story that I have to get into, and this is a story that we talked about earlier in the year. You folks may remember her, an openly gay woman who was once a star basketball player for the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, has been found guilty of making a false police report after claiming that she had been assaulted because of her sexuality. Now, her name is Charlie Rogers. And she told police back in July that her home was invaded by three masked men who beat her up and carved anti-gay slurs into her body. She was arrested on August 21st and charged with making a false report. That's it. That's the only charge you can give someone when they do that. The perpetrators of my crime, this is what she said, in fact, in November, I should say. Rogers made a video proclaiming that she was innocent of staging the incident, as well as claiming that the men who assaulted her were still free. She said, quote, "The perpetrators of my crime are still out there. They are. It wasn't me. I wouldn't say I did it then, and I won't say I did it now. I am innocent." Rogers, who claimed that three men entered her house, one held her down while another cut anti-gay slurs onto her stomach, carved a cross onto her chest, and sliced her thighs, shins, buttocks, and calf. She said the assailants tried to burn down her house after the attack. Now, this is pretty elaborate. Rogers, there was no evidence supporting Rogers' story. A forensic pathologist stated that the injuries were self-inflicted and she allowed someone else to hurt her. Police assert that the reason Rogers made the claims was to promote change. There's no evidence to support her story, the forensic pathologist said that her lie sparked LGBT rallies outside the state capitol in addition to numerous vigils in Nebraska where thousands of gay rights supporters donated money for her. and now she faces up to a year in jail and $1,000 fine.
Now, did these people really carve stuff into her? So where was the evidence of that?
There was no evidence. She had carvings on her. She cut herself on her buttocks and her thighs, or she had someone do it. Bottom line is, well, again, she was an advocate for gay rights in her community.
So you would harm yourself.
She's a sacrificial lamb.
In order to advocate.
She's a sacrificial lamb.
No, she's a fucking idiot.
Mary, I think that goes without saying that she's an idiot. But she's putting herself out there as a sacrificial lamb. This has been done before. In order to get people to respond to a certain thing, you put yourself out there and you become a martyr. This is the reason why, folks, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The gay community is the new terrorist organization. They are the Rainbow Jihad. They are. You see, the regular jihad, the fundamentalist jihad, the radical jihad, the Muslims who are radical. See, they're willing to strap a bomb to themselves, run out to a mosque, to a regular community, hit the detonate button and blow themselves up along with 35 other, if not more. They do a whole bunch of that stuff. They do a whole bunch of that. But see, Americans, and I feel horrible to say this, I feel horrible to say it, but it's true. Americans not that radical as far as, you know, when it comes to doing jihadist-like acts. They're too punk to do something like that. Then this woman wasn't going to kill herself in order to make a point. She wasn't going to sacrifice her life. See, these type of quote-unquote liberals, they're too punk to do that. They need to be alive so they can get all the glory and the adulation and the sympathy. They like the victimhood status. That's why they pull stunts like this. They are a weaker jihad, folks. They are a weaker jihad. They won't kill others. But they'll harm themselves. Tell a little girlfriend, yo, listen, Amber, punch me in the nose and then kick me in the stomach. Yeah, I'm going to say that I was beat up at the park where all the black kids were playing basketball because I'm gay. They'll do that. And then then the girlfriend will drag them down to the police station. I was attacked because I'm gay.
No.
I was attacked for my sexual preference. Help me. I know who did it. It was some black guys playing basketball. Now they're all. Now they're all being pursued. JC, you going to tell me I'm bugging?
You are bugging. I can't see. I can't see them. I mean, whooping their own asses. No.
Really?
Reese, can you walk me through something for me, please?
I can't see that. No.
Say again, Dennis.
Can you walk something for me? Walk me through this.
Yes.
Now she said she did this for change.
Yes.
And she's been arrested.
She's been arrested. She's been charged.
So does this mean now? She doesn't have to do it for change, but she can do it for chains.
Yes, exactly.
Huh? Now, moving along, I had a question for you about the right to work.
Well, I'm going to get into that because I have a whole diatribe about that, Dennis. I promise I'm going to get into
okay,
that.
Okay, because I thought the comedian was still the right to work thread.
Yeah, we have to. I'm not going to ignore that tonight. That's my final monologue tonight, and I will discuss that with you, I promise. JC, if you think that I'm...
I mean, they're powerful in their ways.
Hold on, JC.
I just can't see them going that going to that level.
JC, if you think that that's not a liberal tactic, okay, look up this story, okay? About
I didn't say liberal tactic.
Hold on, JC. Look up the story about the Census Bureau worker. The Census Bureau worker who was hung from a tree or a night pole or something like that with the word Fed on his shirt.
Wasn't that last year?
Yes, it was. No. It was during 2000. It was during the 2010 census. He was a census worker.
Okay.
And he was found hung and dead.
That was in Florida, was it not?
Say again?
Was it in Florida?
I don't remember what state it was.
I remember that everyone said how terrible, and they found out it was a fraud within a month.
Absolutely. This guy hung himself, JC, and it was believed that conservatives were the culprits, and this guy was willing to kill himself in order to get people to recognize that conservatives were responsible for it. He wanted to screw the conservative party he gave his own life to.
Well, the question was it, yeah, like Dennis just said, was he gay, though?
I don't know whether
he was gay.
But it doesn't even matter. I'm talking about liberals in general. Are you telling me that a gay person wouldn't do this? I bet you there are plenty of gays out there that would.
No, I'm just saying if he used rope, that he could say he was well hung. You knew that was coming.
Of course I did.
Or nicely hung.
That's
neatly
just,
hung.
That's just awful. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. The right to work state of Michigan, the newest in, what is it, 24, 26 states now?
26.
26. We have to talk about that when we get back and talk about the real issue with the right-to-work state and why it is that the union is just so upset about Michigan becoming a right-to-work state and why it's important that people recognize the truth about the unions and what it is that they're really fighting for. Now, you may have heard others talk about it, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity's, and Fox News, and all that, but there's a real truth about this. And blacks, you Negroes, I want you to pay attention to this, because you're going to learn something today that you don't know about the unions, something you'll never, ever hear from the unions. When we come back, it's Reese on the Radio.
Yo, and we won't stop rocking till we retire. Since the economy is such in them dire straits, that isn't an option. Our thing is to be currency kings, thoroughbred NYC, burrowbred. We burrow through dirt and crack open cement. These lines were penned while I was semi-bent. The innocent smile's friend broke when he shook it. Remind me when my grandma used to say my ways need a brace, cause my ways just seem so crooked. The little black terror, Hanna-Barbera watcher, Bear Mountain skater, peace out premier, tickets out with the... Peep out the transition. The ammunition that we're shooting is ambition. And implanted inside every history book. We the crew who travel to every cranny and nook of the free world, freeing girls from their mate. Pull this hard with hate. I know if I ask her to slide, she move her head back and forth instead of side to side. This be that one to ride to. The
wanna jump inside of and make love to your mind. I'm like that baby, that Vancouver lady, Amsterdam boy, sent to the earth to ambush your 5.1 radio decks. I revamp cassettes, set digital age, my protect your credit card, plastic, dope phone, lasso, roll, cowboy style, I giddy up, she gets perky like moaning coffee, skin dark like coffee, get off me, fix the mouth to mouth off and she lost me. In the eve of the night, I play the Monte Cristo, skip the disco, we leave in the night, rules don't apply, the thieves in the night, still hearts like crooked card decks, with more effects, sure with more money on the budget, you gotta love it, screams take flight like spaceships ignite, and I count it all, T-minus. Reunited after degrees in September, the leaves began rushing the earth. I fell for it. Scores of faces, so we rocked the bells for it. Not a horse, shouldn't a dummy like that. I make sure we got glue for the summer. Make do for the summer. 900 horns, we done blew a new number. Drink with the king, I'm holding on to 40 forever.
Stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Yeah, once you done it,
Citizen Cove right here on Race on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. 36 minutes after the hour on this 12-12-12, December 12, 2012. If you haven't been following the protest, if you will, by the unions out in Michigan, that is because you've been watching ABC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, and everywhere else, and not been watching Fox. And the bottom line is that what's happening in Michigan is a turning point in our society. What is that turning point? Well, it's very simple. The unions are having their asses handed to them. And more people are starting to realize that the unions are costing them, average citizens. Now, when I was locked up, Rikers Island in Manhattan, Manhattan Detention Complex, I tried to explain this to those idiot niggas in there every day. But they never understood it. So I had to make it very simple. And to put it quite simple, because these niggas watch the news, and it's this information I'm giving right now isn't told to them. It's never going to be told to them. They don't even understand how this works. So when you say something as simple as, "Hey, do you live in Jersey?" Somebody goes, "Yeah." "Do you take the You take New Jersey Transit. You take the bus. Comes into New York." "Oh, yeah, when I used to have a job, you know, 43rd Street, you know what I'm saying? I used to take the New Jersey Transit bus in, you know what I'm saying?" I said, "Okay, fine. All right, cool." "All right, so the bus driver who takes you in, he works there for 20 years before he gets his pension because, you know, he's a union member, right? He works there and he's a union member. And all of his union dues, he pays up to about, let's say, $150,000 worth of dues in 10 years. If he makes $75,000 a year, if he's lucky, let's say he only makes $60,000 a year, but he's worked there for 20 years. And he pays his union dues, which add up to $150,000 in 20 years. Now, you can break that up any way you want to, it's still $150,000 paid into a union for 20 years. So then he stops working. He's retired. He's home. He's with the wife. He's got grandkids. He's chilling. Bought a boat. Whatever. He's got a modest house. Then, for the rest of his life, he gets paid $3.5 million. You said, "Wow, he got that off the union? He got that for paying his dues? That's cool." So I asked, "Where do you think he gets that money from?" Guy says, "The union, right? He paid $150,000 to the union. That money goes right back to him. You know what I'm saying? They invested or whatever and shit. And then that goes right back to him, right? And whatever that makes, you know, they pay him for the rest of that." "Actually, no, sir. That's not how it works." How you figure? "Real simple, dumbass. The union doesn't take his money and invest it into the bank. The union takes his money so that they can go to Washington or they can go to the state city hall or town hall so they can lobby for the candidate of their choice. His money's gone once it gets into the union's hand. The union works as an operation. He's only paying so that the union can pay administrative fees so that they can operate. And what do they do with his $150,000 that he's paid over 20 years? They take that and they lobby for things like benefits at 3%, you know, higher. They get dental. They get this, blah, blah. Oh, that's good, yo. That's good, son. That's good stuff. I said, wait. Dude, you're missing the whole point. I just told you that he gets paid $3.5 million for the rest of his life. Well, you said that that money don't come from the union. So where it comes from? I simply look at him and I go, it comes from you. How does it come from me?
I ain't got no job.
No, he doesn't say that. He says he got a job. So I said, dude, it comes from your taxes. If you live in New Jersey, you are taxed to pay his pension. How do they do that? He's a public worker. Stupid. Oh, he drives, yo dumbass, to work. New Jersey Transit is a state-run business. State-run, like the MTA. It's all run by the state. And so those people can be paid not to work. That's their pension. That's their pension. Taxpayers have to ensure that they are paid not to work. Oh, word? That's what happens? I said, yeah. Do you know teachers get the same thing? Word? Teachers? Yes, stupid. Teachers, public workers. Remember, they work at a public school. So it's a public worker union. Oh, word. I never ever thought about it like that. So, yeah, so when Mrs. Flood retires and she's no longer teaching you little niggers and nigglets, she's sitting on her ass collecting your paycheck. She ain't teaching no more? Yes, nigga, she's not teaching anymore. And you work hard every day to make sure that your tax money goes to Mrs. Flood and make sure that you pay for her to go to Atlantic City and go lose it on a one-armed jack. I said, firefighters? Oh, come on, man. Are you serious? Yes, nigga, the firefighters. Oh, what about the post? What about, who else did they do this? Oh, nigga, your favorite people.
The police.
The po-po, nigga, the 5-0. Yeah, nigga, you go to work every day to pay for some retired cop, to sit home.
No.
With his big-ass boat. That's right. And live in Long Island.
And talk about your dumb nigga.
That's right. So when you talk to them and they hear that, and they find out that these groups are fleecing them and fleecing them, all of a sudden they sit around and go, this is crazy. I never heard this before. Why won't they tell us that? Aren't you asking yourself a question? Why aren't they? Why aren't they telling you that? Because these people are paying to make sure that you never hear it. That you're never, ever told. That's what lobbying money does, my friend. And that's all it's about. That's all it's ever been about. And you're never going to be a part of the union. They don't want you a part of the union. And as much as they tell you what it's about jobs, they're right. It's about their jobs. It's not about growing. It's about making sure that they keep their money. And the public worker union, the unions that are dealing with this right to work thing in Michigan right now. Here's the reason why they have a problem. A right to work state means that even if you're not in the union, you don't have to pay into the union. That's what they've been able to do in Michigan for the longest. You work for the United, or if you work as a, sorry, if you work as an auto worker, but you're not a part of the UAW, the United Workers Union, United Auto Workers Union, you still had to put money into the UAW. You don't have union benefits. You don't have bargaining rights with the union. When the union gets their 3% raise or 2% benefits or whatever it is that they get, you don't get that. But you still are guaranteed to pay into dues to help out somebody else who doesn't give a damn about you. and won't be there to hurt you if you get fired or if your job is cut. You can't be defended legally. The only thing that this union cares about, the only thing that these unions care about is one thing: getting that effing money. Money. And you can say all day that money is the root of all evil, folks. But watch those people out there screaming and hollering, talking about everything but what is the truth. Money. They're telling the governor of Michigan, don't take our money. And now, people like Jimmy Hoffa Jr. is talking about a civil war. There's going to be a civil war. I don't know whether or not you heard it the other day, folks, but that's what he said. It's going to be a civil war. Talking about how there will be bloodshed. Did you hear about that one? There will be bloodshed. That's what's going to happen. They're going to kill somebody. Somebody's got to die. Now, Dennis, do you believe that I've pretty much addressed this as succinctly as one possibly could?
Look, what you don't know is when I ran for office, I was endorsed by a labor union as a friend of the working man. My family, we sharp Stewarts, my late mother, for over 35 years. I did not want a right-to-work state when I was a kid.
Okay.
And they had said, just like the union people the other day, they said, you know, we're fighting for you, and if you don't join the union, you are reaping the benefits of what we worked for in bargaining. And then they say, well, you know, you wouldn't have your vacations, you wouldn't have your benefits, et cetera, if it wasn't for union. And to an extent, they're right. The problem is the unions have killed the golden goose. You have to have a balance between labor and management to have some sort of, I don't want to use the word decorum, but to have some fairness. And now they've priced themselves out of the market. Now, let me ask you this, Reese.
Mm-hmm.
If they could say, all right, we can go for the right-to-work state, but what about us that we go to the bargaining table and we get you the benefits and you're not getting anything? Could they be a codicil in the contract or a law saying if you don't want to join a union, fine, but only a union member in a union shop can receive the entire union package, that if you're not a member of the union, you have a different level of benefits, which may or may not be as good as the unions. It's like management. If you're in management, you work, use the same thing, if you're working foreman sometimes, side by side with the union member, but you're not a member of the union. Could that be a middle ground to work?
For me, and I understand that you come from a union background, and it's probably going to be harsh for me to say this, but for
but
me,
I don't
the
idea that unions, before you even do anything, they're putting all the money to the Democrats. They never asked the family. Look, we're going to endorse candidate A or candidate B. Let's have a vote at the union hall to determine where the union should go. No, they do it, and you're damned.
Yeah, but see,
your
that's my point.
Damn.
This is the reason why I'm against it. Look, here's the whole thing. Okay, this is my biggest problem with the union and why it's an issue. You know, and I hate to sound like I'm coattailing Rush Limbaugh here, but this is only because I know what the facts are. It's a money laundering scheme. That's all it is.
Without doubt. Right to work now. I'm just saying, when I was a kid, I wasn't.
No, but
I don't want you to think that I'm for labor unions now.
Hold on. The idea of the union, okay, in its core essence, was for private business, right? And private business had a union so that the union could protect its workers against the corporation. It was sort of a quid pro quo, if you will, that would say the business couldn't just do what it wanted to do.
Yeah, to police the contract.
Exactly. To police each and every contract so that the workers had rights and that the company could not just willy-nilly do whatever it is that it wanted at any particular time, and that the employees who had established lives could not be undercut because of business practices. So it was
Which still happens
policy.
In certain places.
Well, sure, in plenty of places. Where it got really iffy, and I think that a clear example of that was in the late 70s when people had to get rid of the private garbage industry. You remember that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That had to be eliminated. But the bottom line was, fine, we'll make a city garbage company, but we want unionized workers. But in essence, what do you do when you put unionized workers in that environment where the public, quote unquote, is paying? Because they're saying, look, we're going to give you public sanitation, and we're going to tax the residents in order to pay you. And they turn around and they say, yes, but we want collective bargaining. But they're not now, in essence, they're no longer bargaining with a business owner. They're collective bargaining with a politician who answers to the people, who's supposed to answer to the people. But now
the people
union,
usually don't give campaign contributions, but the union
right,
sure
exactly,
hell does.
That's also my point.
And therefore,
now,
the
exactly,
union will be, the politician will be answerable to the union.
Exactly. The politician now is put in a quagmire where he's got to say, well, the people don't like the service that they're giving, but I need the union's money to campaign. And now mm-hmm. being caught in those crosshairs has created the issue. This is the reason why. Now, I'm not against union. And people keep saying, you're against union. I'm against public worker unions because of one thing, and that is, one, the fact that they're – because I'll put it to you like this. You heard all of the arguments about Citizens United in the Supreme Court, right? Corporations are not people, and they should not be able to influence elections. Well, what the
but then why aren't
unions?
Doing? Aren't they the same as people?
Exactly. That's exactly what the unions are doing.
They say, well, the corporation can't give a dime, but the union better not touch them. Give
exactly.
me a break.
Exactly. So in essence, that's all this, the whole thing that it is. The
Follow
unions
the
are
money.
Nothing more than Citizens United. And if we can't ban them, stop complaining about Citizens United.
What got me is I saw the demonstrations, the protests. One was by the nurses' unions, and you're hurting the patients. How the hell is an open shop, right-to-work state, hurt a patient? I don't know.
I'll tell you why. The unions know, and they're not saying it, right? You look at the ambulance – no, sorry, the sanitation union. I'm going to give you a perfect example of this. The sanitation mm-hmm. union was having a hard time with Mayor Bloomberg in New York City. And one of the union bosses, in response, said during the snowstorm that happened 2 years ago, told workers
I remember
privately,
that. What are you going
right,
to say? I
told
do.
Told workers privately not to go out there and work. Now, they will argue all day. If you don't
and
pay
people
up,
died.
Don't
Someone died
money,
because
hurt.
The police or the ambulance couldn't get to the house.
Exactly. But the bottom line is, that's what they mean when they say you're going to hurt the customer or you're going to hurt the patient. The bottom line is, if you don't give us what we want, we're going to screw them.
Well, I'll tell you what we need. A governor with balls like Calvin
Scott
Coolidge.
Walker.
Remember Calvin Coolidge?
Oh, sure. Come on.
Do you remember
but,
what
you
he did
what?
In Boston? Oh, you're that? I didn't know you were that old.
What? No, I'm not that old. I just know.
Right.
I know
you remember
my
what
history.
He did in Boston with when the police struck?
The police truck?
Police struck. They went on
oh,
strike.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
He fired every cop.
He just fired everybody.
Every one of them. He said there is no right to strike, to go against the public at any time, anywhere.
Exactly.
Any place.
Exactly. You can't, and the whole idea, if you think about that in the police department, you're saying here that your job here is to protect and serve, but you got a union that turns around and one day just says, turn your back on them. Don't protect them. Don't serve them. Just walk your ass away.
I'm going to give you an anecdote.
Say again?
Now, an anecdote. Running for office, I had a lot of good ideas what we could have done for this particular city I live in. And they were workable ideas and good ideas. But you know what I was told? The unions will never allow it. I said, who the hell are they? Who are the citizens? Them or me? Or us? If we demand it, who the hell are the unions to say we can't work to save money?
But they have all the power. Look at it this way. And I've talked about this hundreds of times. And I want to end the show with this. The National Education Association has over $24 billion at its disposal every year. That's the National Education Association. That is a teachers, the largest teachers union in the country. They have $24 billion at their disposal. Who do you think is more powerful? The citizens?
Now, you remember Joe from Michigan.
Say again?
You remember Joe from Michigan?
Oh, sure.
Now, Joe said, and he's all for this, he has a feeling that jobs will start coming back to Michigan in the Rust Belt, and Michigan could go Republican in 4 years because of the farsightedness of the legislature and Governor Snyder.
Oh, trust me. It's going to be a bloodbath for the Democrat Party in the next 4 years. You know, they don't realize it yet, but it's going to happen, sure enough.
So maybe the re-election of Barry was a blessing in disguise.
It could be. It could be. Let's hope it is. Thank you, Dennis, as always, man. We always appreciate you. And welcome back, man. We're glad to have you back. Folks, that's our show. That's our show for tonight. We will see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Don't worry, the system is up and we are ready to go. And don't forget to check us out on Reese on the Radio on Facebook. And check us out on Reese on the Radio on Yahoo. And it's, where else are we? We're on Twitter, Reese on Radio. And, I don't know, just give us a holler. We'll see you then. It's Reese on the Radio. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. Oh, and happy Hanukkah. Follow me into the sun and let the soul be free. The END, the END, the END, the END. It ain't nothing but the END. Follow me into the sun and let the soul be free. Slower.